Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Saturday before Ascension Sunday, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Atlanta today with a preaching entitled The Synodal Church of 52 AD.
A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. After staying in Antioch some time, Paul left and traveled in orderly sequence to the Galatian country and Phrygia, bringing strength to all the disciples. A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, an eloquent speaker, arrived in Ephesus. He was an authority on the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and with ardent spirit spoke and taught accurately about Jesus. Although he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. After his arrival, he gave great assistance to those who had come to believe through grace. He vigorously refuted the Jews in public, establishing from the scriptures that the Christ is Jesus. As someone who follows this website, chances are that you're quite aware of the synod on synodality that's taking place in the church right now. Indeed, there's a good chance that you've actually participated in it to some degree. Maybe you've attended a listening session in your parish, or maybe you've filled out an online survey issued by your diocese, or maybe you've even been following synod.va on social media to keep abreast of each stage of the synod's process, from its first announcement in 2021 to the final general assembly that's slated to take place later this year in October. But if you're aware of the synod, you probably are also aware of some of the resistance that's emerged to the synod process. In a church that's more accustomed to a top-down approach, what's all this emphasis on including many voices, especially the voices of women, in the church's governance structures? Why are all these new voices being included in a church's discernment and decision-making? What's this diversification of roles and ministries? Is this some sort of fangle-dangled 21st century thing? No. If you want an example of just how old some of these dynamics are in the life of the church, pay close attention to the first reading today from the book of Acts. Here we meet a couple of remarkable people that give us glimpses into the workings of the very earliest church. Now let me set the stage. Around 49 AD, the Emperor Claudius expelled many of the Jews living in Rome, specifically those claiming Jesus as the Messiah. And among those forced from their homes were a married couple who made tents for a living, Prisca and Aquila. It's interesting that in the six times they're mentioned in Scripture, it's always as a couple. Yet most often it's Prisca's name mentioned first, and usually by the nickname Priscilla, an indication that she was well-loved and well-known in the early Christian community, but also likely that she was the more prominent of the two. There's some scholarly thought that she may actually be the mystery author of the New Testament letter to the Hebrews. Shortly after the couple resettles from Rome to Corinth, the traveling preacher Paul arrives on the scene and finds shelter in their home, which also serves as the local gathering place for the Christian community. After 18 months or so, Paul decides to set out on another preaching mission towards Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila accompany him, at least as far as Ephesus. And Paul goes onward, but now another preacher arrives on the scene, arrives in Ephesus. His name's Apollos, from Alexandria, Egypt, the center for learning in the Mediterranean region, home of the world-famous library. And Apollos is articulate, and powerful as a speaker and using his gifts on behalf of preaching about Jesus. But Priscilla and Aquila realize that he only knows half the story about Jesus. Apollos knows that Jesus has been baptized by John and identified as the awaited Messiah. He seems to know of Jesus' teachings, but apparently he does not know of Jesus' death and resurrection, and he doesn't know about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We might say that he was missing the most important half of the story, maybe even more than half the story. So Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside and share with Apollos the bigger picture. When Apollos decides to move on to Corinth, the largest city in the region mentioned here as Achaia, they send him onward with encouragement, networking him with the community there. We know that Apollos had a powerful influence there, since the couple later years, when Paul writes his first letter to the Corinthians, it seems the community feels torn in their loyalties between Paul and Apollos. And Paul has to remind the Corinthians that he planted the seed of faith among them and Apollos watered it. But really, it's God who's making the whole church grow. Both the preaching of Paul and the preaching of Apollos are part of one bigger plan. And what happened to Priscilla and Aquila? It seems that after the Emperor Claudius died in 54 AD and Jews were able to return to Rome, it seems that they went back to their community there. Paul sends his greetings to them in his letter to the Romans and thanks them for risking their necks to save his. And we have no idea exactly what this refers to, but it sounds like it was a pretty significant event in Paul's life. Note that the picture that we get here is not of a single apostle on a preaching mission, but rather a whole team of people who are working together to promote the gospel, both women and men. Note that their discovery of the revelation of who Christ is and what he means was an ongoing thing. And the tent makers, Priscilla and Aquila, have insight into the mystery that the learned scripture scholar Apollos doesn't, and that he finds out more about the immense wonder of Christ by listening to them. Note that the multiplicity of voices involved in the preaching, according to Paul, doesn't need to result in divisions or camps, but rather, all are part of this great orchestra playing God's music. Hearing of Paul and Apollos, Prisca and Aquila today gives us a snapshot of what the earliest church looked like. And it's a picture remarkably similar to the one that Pope Francis is calling us toward in this Synod on Synodality. It's a picture of a church that's ever ancient, that can also give hope and courage now to become a church that's ever new.